Good to be back with you in the Lord's house this afternoon. Of course, we are in the study of the book of James, so you can turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. And we're going to only be looking at one verse. I'm not sure, or quite sure, how I was the one who got dealt a single verse to preach on. You just have to ask, But I just pray this. I pray that the Lord would truly be with me to preach the true meaning that is intended by the writer and the Holy Spirit to convey this passage of Scripture with truth and dignity. James chapter 5, it's right in the middle of that chapter, verse 12. James 5, 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Above all, let's not forget this very important principle that all believers should strive to uphold so that we can properly maintain a Christian walk and a Holy Spirit-led lifestyle of working faith. I pray this message to be clear and to the point. The principle conveyed here in verse 12, if followed properly, will help the believer develop and walk in righteousness and aid in the following of and following all other godly laws and commandments. Again, the first half of verse 12 declares, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. The writer of James is making sure that the Jewish believers of Israel that were scattered abroad across the different regions of the world during that time period pick up on the importance of not swearing oaths, especially those that one may not tend to uphold or keep. The Jews were notoriously guilty in Jesus' day to make promises, commitments, or oaths by swearing in different ways depending on the reason or possibly the transaction that was on the table, so to speak. One oath that Jews tried to agree upon is when they swore an oath using any form of the Lord's name. If one did this, then it was law, which meant that your word had to be kept no matter what. Yet I'm sure even some of these oaths failed. Making them some of the worst oaths to make. If you fail an oath using the Lord's name, it was a terrible oath to make to begin with, and improper. Furthermore, they believed if you swore by an oath using lesser means, like a common one may have been by our holy city, Jerusalem, or by the temple, or the things in the temple, or by whatever, you were not bound, and therefore cannot be held accountable. This verse, verse 12 of James chapter 5, is so close to parallel with Jesus' words when preaching the infamous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. If you would, turn your Bibles there. Let's look at this brief, yet very important excerpt from this sermon from Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Verse 33, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old. Old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Let your communication be yea, yea, Nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Jesus is telling the listeners here on the Sermon on the Mount to forsake the traditions of old swearing. Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is a city of the great kings, neither by the hairs of your head. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Perhaps James had become acquainted with Jesus' teachings here, or was simply moved by the Holy Spirit in James chapter 5, verse 12, and just was used a modified quote from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The Jews often used oaths to deceive or to lie. Jesus calls people that make these types of oaths fools and blind. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. Let's read verses 16 through 22. Matthew chapter 23, verses 16 through 22. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold of the temple that sanctifieth the gold? The gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift of that is put upon, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether he is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. In this series of woes passed down upon the followers of Judaism, Jesus pronounces judgment upon those leaders and guides, misleading with their unholy oaths. Jesus calls these their oaths in this nature or of this nature blind guides, fools, and blind, and are guilty of deception. James, like Jesus did before him, steers us away from useless, sinful, and unholy oath swearing that will carry with it, for the child of God who takes promises of truth lightly, chastisement from our Lord. As kids, you may have sworn an oath like this: I pinky swear, or I cross my heart and hope to die. And as adults, or even possibly kids, you may have used, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Or perhaps this oath: I swear on my mother's grave. Surely oaths of this nature meant that you were telling the truth, and furthermore, that you are a person who was telling the truth and could be trusted. But then again, who truly knows? How many of these oaths were truly kept? Turn back with me to our text in James chapter 5, and let's read that verse again. James chapter 5, verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the oath, neither by any other oath. Let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. It's time to get serious, is what James is saying. Forsake the deception of unrighteous and unholy and unfaithful oath bearing, and be a person of integrity. Let your yes mean yes, and let your no mean no. In Gill's exposition of the Bible, he states this about the meaning of these words, and I quote, "Let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay. That is, whenever there is an occasion for affirming or denying anything, let it be done nakedly, simply, and absolutely, without any form of oath annexed to it. For whatsoever addition of that kind is made comes from evil, and tends to it, and is evil, lest ye fall into condemnation." by the Lord, for either false or rash or profane swearing, for he will not suffer it to go unpunished. End quote. Just be God's people, full of integrity, examples of pure honesty. Let your yes mean yes, and let your no mean no. Nothing is needed, for nothing else is needed nor required. Your word should be all you need. Let it mean something. Let it stand for truth and honesty. Isn't that what we teach our children from an early age? Tell the truth. Do what's right. Don't lie or manipulate the truth. Not many people want to be known as liars or unable to be trusted. The opposite is true. We want to be trusted and honest in all of our dealings with those around us. We want to be people of good integrity. James is writing to believers. A saved person is not automatically a person of integrity. But a true Christian is certainly full of integrity. The Bible is full of passages exhorting believers to be faithful in word or deed, to walk humbly and faithfully before God and before all mankind. Just one example of this is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 25. If you would, turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read these verses, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature or the fullness, or of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up to him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, but being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, we are responsible to God for how we live as believers. We are held accountable. Throughout the book of James, he is calling us to be a working faith that emulates the character of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God's word calls us to be people of integrity, and if we are not, we will be held accountable. Making foolish oaths corrupt and destroy that integrity. Speak the truth. And may your yes truly mean yes, and your no truly mean no. How oftentimes have we failed our children in that area. Oh, don't you just hate it when you go to a grocery store and the little child, I want this, I want this. And they keep on it and on it and on it. And you say no and no and no. Till finally the child starts throwing a temper tantrum. How many times have you seen the parent say, just get it, or go ahead and take it? They're frustrated. What they should do, take that child out to the car and take care of it. You know, leave whatever, I don't care if you got a grocery bag or a cart full, just go take care of it. You know, and deal with it. You say, well, that's just cruel and unusual punishment. Is it? How often do you see a child manipulate their parents? That should not happen. That should not take place. But it often does. But if what you have to do is be a person, as a parent, you have to be a person of your word. If they go into that store knowing yes means yes, or no means no, and if you ask continuously, you will be taken home and dealt with. And then you will know the next time we come to a store, I think you will have learned your lesson. You say, dealt with. What? How do you need to take care of that situation? To where they know your yes means yes, and your no means no. And they'll follow the commandments better. And they'll follow you better if they know that. But if they know they can manipulate you and just agitate you and get their way, they'll do it. They're kids. You don't have to tell a child to lie. They already know how to do that. You have to teach them to tell the truth. We need to be people of integrity in our lives.